Shout out to our sponsor, Sugar House Distillery. Handcrafted from grain to glass, Sugar House has been grinding for years to bring us products that are quality over quantity. Just to name a few, their single malt whiskey, rye whiskey, which is our weekday jam, their Boilermaker series, which is a rotating collab within our family, and their canned cocktails, which are so damn good and great for any to-go adventures you have this year. Located in most liquor stores across Utah, or just head over to the distillery located on 22nd 12 South, West Temple, Monday through Friday. Tell them we sent you, and they'd love to give you a tour and possible tasting. When you think Sugar House Distillery, think local and made with love. Until the next spirit, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. Located on 412 South, 7th West in Salt Lake, King's Peak has a wonderful coffee shop and roastery with great atmosphere, delicious coffee, friendly baristas, and plenty of parking. Offering to help anyone willing to learn coffee, King's Peak is the place to go. King's Peak is ethically and sustainably sourced, believing that everyone in the coffee supply chain should be properly supported through fair compensation and powered by real human-to-human relationships. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 2, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 2, you will feel loved the moment you walk through their doors. For any questions or inquiries, or wholesale, visit them at kingspeakcoffee.com or just head on over. Good chance you'll see us there. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, we are here in the heart of Sion Cider Bar. Dun dun dun. And I'm here with one of my dear friends, Jenny Schaefer. Hello, Jenny, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great.
I'm so excited.
I'm beyond stoked to be here.
Let's go. I really am. It's been forever.
I know.
Okay, here's the first time I ever met you. Was you came into the bar at Strap Tank.
Okay.
And it was like when we first opened in Lehigh. And
yeah.
One of my friends, Melissa DeHood, she recognized you and she goes, wait, you're the crafty beer girl, right? And you're like, yeah. And you're just like taking a picture of the beer and you're trying it out.
Yeah.
And she's like, you have no idea. That chick's a legend.
I'm like,
oh.
Oh my gosh.
And this is like, I think either right before I started the podcast, like right when I was about to. And I didn't know about you guys, because once I started the podcast, I learned who, it was like 10 episodes in, I learned who Mikey Rydell was,
yep.
I learned who Tim Heron was, and then the Crafty Beer Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, there's other people doing the same kind of cool shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I love this. And then I just went down the rabbit hole, I'm like, these guys are all my idols. And
awesome.
You guys have all been my friends since, and it's really
cool.
Yeah,
no, it's cool, and I admire you for what you're doing
so much,
like, you know, with the podcast and how you've been consistent with it, and with Crafty Beer Girls. I think it started back in 2015.
Wow.
So it was a while ago, and Lauren Lurch was my writing partner, and we just kept that thing going. We wrote every week for several years before it kind of, you know, people started.
Was it a blog first?
It was a blog.
A blog.
Yeah, we did do a podcast, and that was a lot of fun. It was good times, but mostly it was a blog. That we just were writing about beer and trying to inform and inspire and educate.
It inspired me and it helped me learn some beer facts. So I was new to the craft beer game. I knew how to bartend. I bartended for years. Then my favorite, because Tim Heron went about it in a journalistic way.
Yes.
And I thought it was beautiful. It was eloquent. It was gorgeous. And because I grew up in a journalism home. So like I respected that style. And then you guys were like the mix between the hybrid of journalism mixed with blogging, mixed with like podcasting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are having so much fun. This looks awesome. And then you got Mikey, who just like, just blogs about what he drank that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was a fan of Mikey for years before I ever did a podcast or not the blog. And I remember when I first met Mikey, I was like, oh, that's Utah Beer Blog. Oh my gosh. And then, you know, got to know him and became friends and just kind of became part of the community. Got pulled, sort of sucked into the gravity.
Awesome.
That is the craft beer community.
And it was hard to, it's hard to not be, like that gravitation just kind of.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Totally. And Yeah, I never thought I would do that. It was a passion of mine to be, I just loved beer. I loved to drink beer, but I didn't know that much about it. And it was I'm a massage therapist. That's my main gig.
Yeah, your adulting job.
Yes, my real job, my day job. And one of my clients owned a brewery. And so that was how I would have conversations with him about beer. And it was just so interesting. And it was kind of his idea to do the blog. So, and I remember I was like, you want me to write a blog? Like, I don't know anything. I don't know enough about beer. I was very much like, I'm not an expert. What do I know? And, I like to write. Mm-hmm. That's something I've always enjoyed. And it was something I wasn't doing. And I thought, man, that would be cool to get back into writing again. I like to do that. So, it was a good opportunity, but I was very intimidated. He introduced me to Lauren, who was working at, I should say who I'm talking about. Bob Jensen over at Red Rock.
Oh, beautiful.
So it was his idea and Lauren was working at Red Rock at the time. And so he introduced us and he thought, oh, you two should get together. And
so you didn't know
this
about
blog.
this Miss Lauren Lurch lady.
No, I didn't know Lauren at all. I just was like the matchmaker, the blogger matchmaker.
Was she doing anything before that?
She did a little bit. She was doing a little bit of, she had written a couple of blog posts. I think it was her own blog. I forget. It's been a while, but just some kind of sensory stuff. Hmm. And she was wanting her Cicerone. She was doing that. She was just working in the beer store at the time. So she was, but she was, I felt like she knew more than I did. When I met her, I was like, wow, you're so much more knowledgeable than I am about this. And so I was a little intimidated, to be honest, but it was just so cool. Like I felt like she was kind of the insider and I was the outsider and we had kind of different perspectives that way.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of worked. I feel more like an insider now, but yeah, I didn't know how much I didn't know.
Right.
And the more I learned, the more it was just like, wow, this is so cool. Like everything about brewing and fermentation and just flavors. And it kind of just like blew up into, I went down a rabbit hole pretty much. And I've gotten into so many things like whiskey and, you know, spirits and cocktails. I was never into cocktails, but now I'm into that. I think that's really cool. And I started homebrew and I've done some, you know, brewing in some of the commercial breweries too, just with like Pink Boots and the Hot Bombshells. And that's been really cool, but just so fascinated by the process. And, you know, I think the first time I went to a tour of a brewery and
where was it?
I believe it was Bohemian.
Ooh.
Actually, I don't totally remember. I know we did that one. Oh man. Yeah, I don't remember.
But it was a local one for sure?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because I also did some traveling and went to, I think I went into, I went to New Belgium, but you had to get tickets, so I didn't go to that one.
Hmm.
I went to Uinta.
Oh, hell yeah.
Way back when. But a lot of it was like, once I started doing the blog, then I was like, oh, I got to go tour these breweries. But I remember the first time it was like, it was just so interesting to learn the process. Because it was so mysterious to me. I was like, all I know is like, there's this wonderful beverage that I drink that I love. And I didn't really know what I was tasting or not tasting. I didn't know the elements of it. And so to be able to break that down eventually and understand, ooh, I'm tasting yeast or malt or hops. Like that, like what's bringing these flavors has just been so cool.
Oh, I love that. And so you still homebrew then?
Yeah. I actually joined the Hot Bombshells a while ago just because I was so interested. The first thing was, here's all these other women drinking beer, into beer. Like, they're like me, you know, like, this is so cool. I just want to hang out. They do a lot of education. That was kind of their main focus, was education. And I was very interested in just learning more.
Yeah.
So I started going to the meetings. I was, again, intimidated about actually brewing myself. I always thought, you know, man, it just seems like too much work. It's just like, I just want to drink the beer. I don't know if I want to make the beer. Like, do I need to make the beer? And it seemed hard. And I think just through going to the Hot Bombshells meetings, I started to realize that I can do this. I can try this.
I love
and
that.
They really empowered me to try it. And Kelsey, do you know Kelsey?
Of course I know Kelsey, yeah.
Kelsey helped me brew my very first beer.
Oh, what was it?
And it was a rye pale, and it turned out good. I was like, okay.
I can do this.
I made beer. It was good.
I love that.
It was delicious. I did enter it into the Beehive Brew Off.
That year, the same year?
I did, yeah. And it was, it got like, I can't remember the score, but it was like in the 30s. And I remember like that was good for, especially my first beer I ever brewed. And it was a, it wasn't an all grain. It was just extract beer.
Hey, as long as it tastes great.
Yeah. And yeah. So that was just like, it really helped boost my confidence. But I will say I've just had a hard time finding the time to brew. So I haven't done a lot on my own. But I did decide recently that I want to start doing it regularly. Maybe not as often as some people I know, but I'd love to just at least a couple times a year make some beer. I've also made some cider too in the past. And so I've just really enjoyed, like, the first beer I made, watching it ferment. Just, I had got a glass fermenter so I could see the beer. And I was just like, I was checking on it constantly and just watching all the little particles as they're moving or in the foam, like everything that's happening in there. It's like, oh my God, it's alive.
Yeah. Right. You know? It's so, you nerd out so hard when you actually see it happening.
I was like, why haven't I done this before? This is so cool. And so, yeah, like
fermentation, all of it.
Fermentation is so cool.
Like even going to kombucha and you see the SCOBY just sitting on top. It's like this big monster. Like, what is that? I want to touch it.
Yeah, totally. It just fermentation in general was so interesting to me. Like, one of the things we did in Hot Bombshells 2 was we fermented vegetables.
Oh, even. Sick.
And that, I actually need to do more of that too, because that was so cool. I made sauerkraut and a bunch of stuff, like jalapenos and different mixes of vegetables. And just that, I love those kinds of flavors. I'm less of a sweet tooth and I'm more like vinegar.
Savory?
And vinegary stuff is like that. A dill pickle or something like that is kind of more my style. So all the fermented vegetables are kind of have that like,
that's so cool,
that like tanginess to it that I really like.
The reason why I haven't started fermentation with vegetables at my own house is because I would go down that rabbit hole and I can just see my wife being like, okay, listen, I don't have enough space for your beers and your vegetables.
It does take a lot of space and resources for all of this stuff. And yeah, my husband was noticing that I was taking over the, like he's got his photo studio downstairs and I have my laundry down there and I do lots of laundry for my business, my massage business. And then I start bringing, like I have a cellar now down there and then I start like fermenting my
slowly
beer down there.
Kicking him out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I love it.
Yeah. I've kind of taken over a lot of the basement.
And so you have in front of us something from your cellar, correct?
Well, this is actually my homebrew.
Most recent homebrew?
Yes. And I actually made this with my dear cousin, Amy.
Oh, who She's is actually sitting here next to us. Hello, Amy. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Hello.
You're just sitting there being patient. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I'm happy. It's no, good.
So is this the first time you've made a beer too?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So what's your history in beer life, in the beer world? Do you like beer? Do you drink beer? Do you hate beer? Do you like cider more? Do you like liquor?
Just love beer.
Just love beer.
I love beer. I like trying new beers and... Yeah, I don't know much about it. So when I have a question, I know who to
Jenny's
ask.
Your go-to?
Yes.
So remember how you said that Lauren was your like...
Yes.
But you're now an insider. So like you are this like wizard too.
Well, you know what's interesting? Like before I started doing the blog and I didn't really know that much, I still knew a lot more than the average just layman beer drinker.
Yeah.
And so I think I kind of felt like I kind of know stuff, but yeah, so...
So then Amy... what do we make here? I'm curious. You know,
We made a black IPA, and part of it was Amy really likes dark beers.
Girl, you like dark beers.
She loves dark beers.
Are you a malty girl versus a hoppy girl?
I love hop too, but
you just love beer.
Yeah. She likes it all, but she's kind of been originally more of a dark beer lover.
Schwarz beer is my favorite dark beer.
Oh yeah,
nice dark lager.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Nice and smooth.
Oh yeah, you like it. So we're going to pour this out? We got to let it settle?
Will you hand me the opener?
The Stanley Stein? I love this, by the way. That's like the cutest Stein ever.
Yes, I was explaining that I need to pour it out first because it got a little overcarbed. Here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Flex girl, get that cap off.
I don't know if that's the best opener. It's just the wine tool that I had in my little picnic bag.
Almost. Have you guys tried this yet?
Yeah, you know, we actually, I will just a caveat here. We made this in October, like right around Halloween. So it's a few months old.
Gotcha.
And it was dry hopped a lot, so some of the flavor is going to be a little different than it was when we first tried it. But we've been drinking it for a little while, enjoying it. Like, we split it.
It turned out delicious.
Yeah.
How big of a batch was it?
It was a 5-gallon. And, oh, easy. And to be honest, like, that's one of the things that's kept me from brewing is I didn't want 5 gallons of anything. Not that I don't love beer, but I just always had so much beer in my fridge. I was always trying to get the newest stuff, and I always have too much beer. And so I was like, well, gosh, it would be nice if I had somebody to
Oh, Amy, you lucked out.
Yeah.
Like, I have so much beer. Oh, help me.
You're
like,
help me, Amy.
I'll come help you.
I do this all the time with her, too. I raid my cellar and go to her house and like, here, drink this beer with me.
Amy, when's the last time you bought a beer?
Oh, she buys beer, too.
I've probably never shared a beer with Jenny. No, she always shares with me.
I don't need you to share beer with me. I'm good.
I love this.
But I need you to drink my beer is what I need, need to do.
And I need to aim my life.
And like hang out with me. And she's my like go-to, like ride or die. Like drink beer with, go to concerts with, all that stuff.
I love it.
It's awesome. She's great. And she became my brewing buddy, which was so fun. And that was the first time I brewed where it was me like running the show.
Yeah.
You know, normally it would just be like somebody else was kind of either helping me or with the commercial brews, it was just me kind of there doing a few things. You know, you don't usually do a lot.
No, collabs, you kind of stand there.
Yeah, like, oh, try some hops in or, you know, something like that and just kind of hang out and, you know, drink. Sorry, I'm just waiting for the foam to go down.
Like, no, it's okay. So while you do that, Amy, I got some questions for you.
Okay.
So do you remember your first beer you ever had?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I was probably way too young. So I think I probably had my first beer. I don't know. I was 14 or under that. So no, I don't remember my first beer. It probably had something to do with Oktoberfest because my family has a German background.
Right.
Also wine and liquor were just a part of
growing up.
Yeah. Mm. So,
kind of. I mean, we were raised in the predominant religion, so it's not like our families. Well, you do have family that's not religious, right?
Right. Luckily, I lived with my grandparents, and so and also when I didn't live with them, they were just, you know, the biggest influence of worldly things.
Yeah, you know, I never
worldly things.
I never really thought about that because I just in my mind it's like we just grew up Mormon, so like. I don't know if it was kind of a rebellious thing when we started, maybe, drinking.
How long have you guys known each other for?
Not for me.
Oh, well.
Since we were born.
Yeah, we lived across the street from each other.
Get out of
as
here.
As children. So we would just play. We were like sisters. She's about 18 months younger than me, so we're pretty close in age.
Oh, beautiful.
And we went to school together and church together. And
Ballet together.
We danced, did ballet. And
I love that.
As we got older, we eventually connected about, you know, well, other things too, but beer definitely is a big thing we have in common in our family. And not a lot, at least on our side of the family, not a lot of people do drink.
Yeah.
So it's something that we kind of can like bond with each other over and enjoy. And
that makes me happy. I bet there's some stories going through y'all's head like, oh,
I know. When you start asking like, what's the first beer you ever had? You start thinking about like way back, like, oh yeah.
Oh shit. I was 14. I love it.
I think mine was the champagne of beers. Miller High Life.
Can't argue that beer. I mean, it has. It's just a good beer all around. The first beer I ever had was a non-alcoholic beer. My grandfather would drink something called O'Doyle's, and I hated the taste of it.
Oh, O'Doyle's? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But he was brought into the most predominant faith here in Utah, right?
Okay.
And so he used to love beer before that. But he was drinking beer before 21. And when he became of the faith, right?
Yeah.
He still liked the taste of beer, but didn't need the after effects. So that was the best.
That kind of reminds me of something my husband told me about. Was it his grandfather that drank beer, but it was non-alcoholic beer? Or no, maybe it was alcoholic beer. But when they would ask what it was, he would just say it was barley soda.
Barley soda.
Yeah.
My grandpa called it near beer.
Yeah.
It was a near beer. I just never knew. So growing up, when I went to like college, I'm like, oh yeah, that's near beer. People look at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? What the hell is near beer?
I've heard it called that before.
Yeah, yes. I think that's classic, pretty much.
But, you know, when we have a bunch of kids drinking Bud Lights, like, what the hell's near beer? I love this. So this is not rye beer.
Black IPA. A black IPA. I do really like rye. And so I did make it into a rye beer as well. Ooh. So it's I'm trying to remember. I've only done extract brewing so far on my own. I have not. That's my next step, is to start doing a mash. So I haven't actually done a mash yet. But so this is an extract beer, but I have always used some grains for steeping.
Yeah.
To give it flavor. So I did sort of tweak the recipe that I was following, and added like some flaked rye, some rye malt, and some chocolate rye.
Ooh.
And is along with some of the other stuff that makes it dark. And then I wanted to try dry hopping. So did a bunch of dry hopping, and I wanted to keep it like pretty classic Cascadian dark, but I also wanted to put like the little twist on it with some of the aromatic hops and some of the stuff that you do for like maybe a New England IPA or something like that. Right. So I believe it was, Chinook and Cascade, mostly for bittering. And then, Idaho 7, Talus, and Citra.
Wow.
I think were the other hops that I used. And
that was a dry hop?
It was either late boil. I did a bunch of hop additions.
I love it.
Like kind of throughout the whole thing. I definitely wanted it to have bitterness. So kind of balance it out. Sometimes I've tried these types of beers and they kind of taste more like a brown ale to me.
Oh.
So I didn't want it to taste like a brown ale. I wanted it to be an IPA.
Gotcha.
For sure. But with that like nice malt flavor, that roasty malt flavor that I love.
And yeah.
I know the first time I had a black IPA, I was like, what is this? Like a black IPA. And then I tried it and I was like, wow, this is so cool. And I think I remember kind of it tasting like almost like a chocolate orange or something, like very citrusy, but like the chocolatey flavors. And I kind of like that.
I can see that.
That combination. So I'm kind of watching this to see if it's, I'm afraid we're going to pour it and it's going to be all over the place.
I love it. Amy, where's your glass?
That's hers.
Is that your glass?
I'm excited. I got that one for you.
Oh, that's your glass. You got the cute one.
Yes. Yes.
I should give Amy one of these. These are classic Hot Bombshells taster glasses.
These are really cute. I like them. Do you also have a shit ton of glassware at the house?
Yes.
I feel like all beer drinkers have just glassware everywhere.
Yeah, I have way too many. And when I was doing the blog, I was always taking photos of beer. So I tried to have, like, when I would take a beer photo, I would try to make sure that it was the glass from the brewery if I had one. So then the photo would have the logo on it. So I have way too many beer glasses and not really a good place for them. So,
well, ladies, cheers. Salud.
Cheers.
Prost.
We named this Dark Sister.
Oh, yes. Yes. Because we were both we were watching The House of the Dragon on HBO.
Oh.
We're fans. We're dragon fans. Well, Game of Thrones. I don't know. We're also nerds. Kind of nerdy.
I love it.
We like that. Like fantasy and...
This is the homage to it.
It's an homage to it. It's named after a sword, a Valyrian steel sword from the House of the Dragon.
I love it.
From the Targaryen dynasty.
I love it. Keep going.
Well, plus it's like the name of the sword was Dark Sister, and we're like sisters, and it's like a chick beer, you know, female beer that we brewed. And
this is so cool. And speaking of that, Pink Boots then? Jenny, you remember the Pink Boots?
Yes, I am a member of the Pink Boots. That's the, you know, the professional... for the people that actually work professionally in the industry. I do that as well. So this is like interesting. I haven't tasted this for a couple of weeks, this beer.
All right, Amy, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're for this. And there's no wrong answer.
Okay.
Tell me what you get in this beer. All the flavors you can pull out.
Jenny's right. It has changed in the last couple of weeks. So I'm trying to decide.
How cold is it?
I think I had one last week. It's changed since then. I don't know. I kind of just envision everything that we put in it and all the different flavors there and how it smelled. So I'm a little bit...
When we were brewing it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fun day.
Oh, the smells are so good. It was on my driveway, and it was like... Right? Was it the day before Halloween, I think.
So was there snow out there?
No.
Really?
It wasn't snowy yet. I think it was maybe in the mountains. I kind of liked, we were going to do it on Halloween. I thought it would be kind of fun if when the trick-or-treaters came, like we were out brewing.
Legit brewing?
Like, yeah.
You should have had like hats on.
And we were going to, yeah.
I did have that hat. I have this like.
I love that idea.
Paper like mask that I made during the pandemic. It's like where you fold it and it's like becomes a mask.
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
Like made out of paper and it's like a pumpkin head. And then it had like this crazy hat on it, like kind of almost like a scarecrow, like hat, slouchy witch's hat. And so I think there's a photo of me with that hat on while we were brewing.
Oh, we got to find that after this.
It's probably on my, I believe Crafty Beer Girls, the Instagram probably has that.
Ooh.
You said that the last time I posted on that was.
No, that was the last podcast you did.
Oh, the last podcast. Yeah. I did. Okay.
It's been a minute, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Crafty Beer Girls has kind of gone a little dormant, to be
it's
honest.
Okay. Your lives gets busy.
Yeah.
Because you guys all have busy lives, I feel like.
Well, yeah.
It's tough to get three people together. It's tough.
Well, it is. It was. The podcast especially was a little hard to get us together. We had a lot of fun with it. But after the pandemic, it just got kind of like, well, Lauren moved on and she's busy and she brews. She's a brewer at Uinta. And I'm just trying to find some balance in my life too. Like I've been doing this beer stuff for a while and it's been so fun, but it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know.
Oh yeah.
like every time when I was writing every week, it was like, it was fun, but there was a certain amount of stress going along with like getting the content, writing it, editing, making sure it sounded good and that there was no mistakes, and then taking photos and doing the photo editing, and then just getting it up on the blog.
Yeah.
And then doing social media, like all of that
there's
just a lot.
So many things that go into it that people don't understand. So when I see podcasters coming up and trying to do the same thing, or someone's trying to appreciate their thing, I'm like, hey, go get it. Good for you. I'll support it.
Which is why I'm impressed with you, because you've managed to I've noticed you've made this into like a legit podcast. You have sponsors, you know, all of that stuff. We never really did that. It sort of was like, well, we're just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's how the whole thing was too. I never thought of it as a career path.
Interesting.
And
nor did I, by the way.
It opened up doors.
Yeah.
And I still don't know where it's going, to be honest. But I do have a busy massage practice. And I also now do social media for Red Rock. That's my other job. Mm-hmm. And so it's just hard to find time to do anything else.
Yeah.
So the blog has kind of gone away. Plus, I didn't have anyone to write with me. And it's like, not Crafty Beer Girls anymore. It was like Crafty Beer Girl.
Yeah. So Crafty Beer Jenny.
Crafty Beer Jenny. Yeah.
But that's why I respected you guys doing the blog post too, because that's one thing. Envy is not the right word, but I was, I wish I could have blogged what Tim Herron did. Mm-hmm. I respected what Tim Herron did because that's what I wish that guy would do that for everyone. And every brewery needs a Tim Herron.
Yeah.
Like that should be a thing.
And then
what you guys are doing, that should be a thing as well. Mm-hmm. But I know how much time goes into that. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
No wonder you guys are both kind of dormant at this. Tim's dormant right now.
Yeah. Tim's been too. Yeah. I noticed that.
And it's just a lot of work.
He started doing it after us too. And I remember meeting him at a,
I love
bottle
that guy.
Share. Oh. And he was, again, he was like, oh, Crafty Beer Girls. Like he was, I think, seeing what we were doing too and wanting to, kind of do that. But he also has a more of a journalism background. So yeah, he came at it with that. We're different, you know, there's room for all of us, right?
Exactly. As long as the community is being showcased, who cares what's happening? Just don't be an asshole and be great about it and just lead with love.
Yeah. That's I consider Tim a friend too. Like he's great. I love Tim.
I love Tim.
We just like our podcasts were very different too. His was definitely more straightforward and ours was just like, I don't know, a little all over the place and crazy. Like it's, you know, not everyone's taste, but we sure had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Cause like, I don't know who listens to the podcast that I have. It's just like, if you do great, if you like if you find it value in it, great. If not, I'm still doing it cause I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, it does feel a little bit like that with all of this stuff. It's a little bit of a labor of love because I don't know. I don't know if it's hard for me to give up my massage practice.
Yeah.
Because it is what pays the bills.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for over 20 years and it's just hard to, like, I know that maybe I can't do this that forever. It's a very physical job.
And having a partner would be awesome. Cause when I first started this, I had a partner
in
the first 6-ish months and then he bamboozled and he went and did his own job. He had to go do his life.
Yeah.
And he was my Lauren. He was the nerd. He was like, he knew everything. I'm like, how did, he just went down the rabbit hole before I did. But I'm like, but then when I got into rabbit hole, I was like, hell yeah. And then being a brewer is very helpful as well. I do have that advantage over most of the individuals that are blogging or posting about beer in the industry. So I feel like I'm the only one actively brewing that does that. So
professionally,
it's
too.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay, don't abuse it. Like, keep it going. Love it. And I still go to work and I find excitement in it. Like, I get to make this. You guys are excited. You have a great memory doing it. Like, isn't it awesome?
Yeah, it's so
great. I'm always inviting you guys. Are more than welcome to come brew with me anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
I just want to go brew with everyone. When you guys come brew with me, we'll have hats on.
Okay.
Oh, let's do it.
I love hats. I always wear a hat. That's like my signature.
I love that. So we're going to take a quick break. Okay. We're going to refuel because some of us need to hit the restroom. And then we'll come back because, Jenny, you have a smorgasbord of awesomeness going on here.
I brought a few things.
Hell yeah.
As I tend to do.
I love it. Okay, Rufus, take a break.
All right.
Outlaw Distillery's Bourbon Barrel Aged Hot Sauce is back on the shelves. Also, head on over to meet the newest distiller in our Outlaw family, Connor Kelly. With experience from places like High West, Connor helps turn up Outlaw's premium game. Head on over to Outlaw Distillery located at 552nd West, 8360 South, Midvale, Utah for a tour and tasting. Their staff is well-trained and leads with full passion. With homegrown grain to glass, Outlaw Distillery carries some of our favorite weekday sippers, like vanilla bean rum, spiced rum, honey bourbon, and that delicious bourbon whiskey. Trust us when we say it should be outlawed. It's so good. Yeah. Until the next spirits, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like their Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays, Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. All right, family, we're back. And Jenny, you have a smorgasbord of shit in front of us. Not shit, but stuff.
It's a bunch of shit. No, it's good shit.
So let's go to the blog real quick. Mm-hmm. How consistent, when you started the blog, what was your idea behind the blog? Just you getting out there, you just trying to learn with the people?
It was a little bit, it really was. It was a little bit of winging it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And we just started writing anything I was interested in.
Yeah.
I would just go and research and find out or go and interview somebody, or I'd go on a trip and I'd go to a bunch of breweries and I'd just write about it and take pictures and all this stuff.
So you said earlier you were very intimidated to be in the industry or like try to start this thing, but you've met so many people.
Yeah.
You got to tell me, are you still intimidated?
I think I'll always feel a little bit that way. Yeah. Like, cause the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Oh,
I think is
for sure.
So true that I had no idea what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I do remember we used to do these bottle shares, and early on I started going to these bottle shares and there was a lot of homebrewers there. And I just felt like, you know, I was already doing the blog and I'm just like, oh my gosh, all these people know more than I do. And here I am writing about beer. But I think being sort of coming from that angle, maybe I'm a little bit less intimidating for somebody else to read.
So you have a limiting belief, and so you've kind of switched it around and be like, hey, but I'm helping someone else possibly.
I really wanted to just, I'm so passionate. I have a lot of passions.
I love it.
And I just wanted to share my passion, and I thought, you know, if somebody can be inspired by something I say. And also I think I have a way of not like talking too complicated about any of these concepts that have to do with beer or brewing or any of that.
Right.
Because I'm not a professional. I'm not a scientist or any of this stuff. I don't have all these big words to give you. And if I can understand it enough to teach it or write about it, then, that means I've learned it enough to be able to kind of explain it to somebody else. And I'm always thinking of the person I'm explaining it to doesn't know anything about what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So anytime there was something that I thought, well, they might, I can't just assume that if I say this term, they're going to know what that is.
Right.
So I'm going to break it down as best I can so that anyone can understand.
So you're bridging
what I'm
the gap between
about.
The consumer and the brewer.
Right.
And right. that's needed because I don't think we have enough of that in the
right.
industry.
Right. Well, and Lauren was like the brewer, the nerd, the Cicerone, everything. Mm. She always had. So, well, not all of her. I mean, she's a lot of fun. Her writing was really fun to read, too. But she definitely kind of came at it from a little bit more of like an insider, professional, very knowledgeable, very nerdy. And mine was a little bit more. I want to say, well, I felt like I tried to be more accessible as much as possible. So,
yeah.
And yeah.
And so how often have you kept this blog post going?
Well, we would post every week and Lauren and I would switch off. So I was doing it every other week. She was doing it every other week. I think we kept that up for like 6 years.
Damn.
There's like, if you go to the blog now, there's a lot. I mean, we haven't written a post for quite some time, but there's so much on there.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's still relevant. I mean, some of it is a little dated.
Oh, absolutely.
But so it's relevant still too.
I did an episode of Beer Stockland. Right. So stabbing the beers, the darker beers. And I hit up Lauren.
Yeah. The like, stockle. Okay.
I was like, hey, girl, have you heard about this term? She goes, haven't heard about this
have
term.
Have I heard?
And then come to find out,
that was her thing.
She fucking taught a class about it. And
yeah.
She was taught the pink boots and she made a blog about it. And
she
like,
did a blog post
so
about
when
it.
I mm-hmm. Googled beer stock, then like all of a sudden the Crafty Beer Girls blog came. I'm like, what the hell? This is cool. And it was written by Lauren.
So cool. Yeah. Lauren has so many cool posts. I just love.
But it's amazing because like now I went on like a whole tear of like stabbing things for like 3 months. Like, let's stab it. Fuck it. Stab it.
Yeah, we did that a bunch. Just like, let's try this one. Let's try that one. And it was super cool.
Yeah, I probably got annoying for a while for people. I'm like, why do you want to stab everything? Just drink it. I'm like,
just
no,
drink
I want to do both.
I know. It's kind of like when I used to do like Untappd a lot. I haven't been doing that either, but I would always have to take a picture of the beer and then I have to like rate it and I'd have to write about it. And sometimes it's like, it gets... You just want to drink it
like it's
and
so
just
monotonous.
Enjoy it.
Just
it does. It gets tedious.
Thing. Yeah.
I went on a whole, I got all obsessed with mixing beers. I did like a beer mixing.
Like a blend?
Yeah, blending beers. I have a couple of posts about that on there that are kind of fun. I don't do that often, but I got into it and I was like, mixing beers all the time. Like, oh, what does this taste like together? What about this? And just, it was so cool. And I just love the flavors and how they kind of come together.
So how do you get into like from beer, mixing beers, blending beers to doing cocktail beers?
Yeah. So it's just kind of a natural progression. I just saw that you didn't see them at the time too much. I don't know how prominent a beer cocktail is now, but I know Craft by Proper had some, and I believe the Bayou maybe had a couple. There weren't that many. But there was a book that was all about beer cocktails that Lauren had. She lent it to me and eventually let me keep because I was using it so much. But I didn't used to care that much about cocktails. I think in my mind, cocktails were just sugary, kind of sweet. And I like beer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm a beer person. I like wine, but I'm not really a wine person. I'm a beer person. And cocktails, same thing. But once I started to understand what could go into a cocktail and how a cocktail could taste. I think maybe it came along with starting to like whiskey.
Okay.
Because I started getting into bourbon and scotch and then that kind of got me doing more cocktails. And I realized, you know, a cocktail doesn't have to be sugary, sweet, fruity, whatever. Because I know when I was like a young adult, when I would go to a bar, I would order, they'd be like, what would you like? Because I don't know what to order. Just give me something strong and fruity. That was kind of always my thing. But then I got older and I realized, like, I don't really want something strong and fruity and sweet and all that.
Yeah.
So I think a whiskey sour was maybe my breakthrough moment. Just like, oh, okay, it's not sweet. It's got the sourness. It's the balance.
Yeah.
The balance of the flavors. And that's really what a cocktail is about, is balancing the flavors. So, all these different flavors, kind of like a symphony, kind of coming together and making that one note of, like, the drink that you're having and you can kind of pick it apart on your tongue, but it's all kind of happening at once. And it's just, I don't know. I've just come to really love it.
So you have one in front of us today, right?
Yes.
Cause Amy is chomping at the bit for this.
So I created a cocktail. I've created a few cocktails. What I tend to do is get a beer that I think I want to use I'll look at recipes sometimes and, you know, actual beer cocktail recipes. But what I tend to do is take a beer that I think will make a good cocktail.
Okay.
And maybe look up other cocktails, other recipes of cocktails, and do a riff on something that's existing with all of the ingredients that I have on hand. And I often really try to incorporate local, I always try to incorporate local products.
Hell yeah, as we should.
Distillers, brewers, bitters, all those things that locally are made that are awesome.
Yeah.
There's just so many great businesses that
I know.
Are makers, creators that are doing
that's
things.
That's why the farmer markets that happen here, I'm like, oh my God, I just want to go and see all the things. Mm-hmm. Can I buy all the things? I love it.
So I have a few more things to get out.
That's fine.
I need to get
I'll talk
beer.
To Amy then. Amy.
Yeah.
So you're a beer girl.
Yeah.
Are we a cocktail girl at all?
Yeah. I'm an alcohol girl.
Anything with ethanol you love.
Yeah.
So what's some of your favorite breweries here in Utah?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Oh, Red Rock, obviously.
Red Rock.
Of course.
yeah, definitely. All of our local brewers are just so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't argue that.
There's no way to pick one.
I like it. Red Rock. There's the Froelich Pils right now.
Oh, yeah.
That one's my go-to. That's such a damn good beer.
It's a damn good beer, for sure. And I will say Red Rock was, yes, I work for Red Rock and all that stuff.
Shameless
but
plug.
I've always loved their beer way before I ever started doing the blog. I liked going to Red Rock. I used to work at a restaurant, TGI Fridays, when I was younger, before I started doing massage. And I remember when Red Rock opened, a bunch of the people that worked with us went to Red Rock.
Oh, cool.
And started working there. And so it was just like, oh, it's the new cool place. And I would just like to go there. And I love the food and the beer.
Absolutely.
And I think the first time I had a hoppy beer that I like, the first time I understood dry hopping was Elefino.
And
having that was like a huge
terrible
breakthrough.
Beer.
Yeah, just like, oh my God, like the hops, just the flavors, the dry hopping and all that stuff. And it was just, that was a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where am I going with all of this, by the way? Oh yeah, Red Rock. So this cocktail I'm making, I decided to do a riff on Forbidden Fruit, which is a new line of fruited sours that Red Rock is making. This one.
Look at this label. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, we've been doing some. We started canning recently and doing some kind of cool labels to go with that.
Yeah.
So I should have looked this up, who this artist is.
Is it on the back by chance?
I don't know. I don't think
it's
so.
Very cartoony, and I think it's adorable.
Yeah, I know this
QR code. Does that mean if I scan it, will I see who the artist is?
I don't know if you'll see the artist. You might just
that'd be cool if that
see
was
about it, some stuff about it, but. So this is a raspberry ginger sour, and this will be a rotating series. So you'll see Forbidden Fruit, different, you know, versions of it.
Yeah.
But this is kind of the first one that they did. And it's actually, last year, I don't know if you had the ginger goza.
The one that won a medal at JBF?
It ran a medal, yeah. And it was very good. And I actually made some cocktails with that, too.
Ooh.
In fact, I think one of our podcasts, the Crafty Beer Girls podcast, might have had a cocktail featuring that one. I just think, like, gozas and sours are kind of fun. For cocktails?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is actually kind of a version of that, but with raspberry.
Ooh.
So if you're curious about that.
Hence the rotating.
Yeah. And I also recently went, well, I'm a big fan of Water Pocket.
Who isn't a big fan
of
Water Pocket?
Love Alan. Love everything he's doing there. You know, I listened to the podcast that you had with him and it just was like riveted by, I love it. I love everything he has to say. He knows so much about history and gosh, botanicals. We did a hot bombshells tour there
with
our homebrew club, and it was so awesome.
Great place to do a tour.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, I never would have thought that I would like botanical spirits, but he definitely sold me on botanical spirits. Just, I think all the Amaros that they make and just the gin, all the stuff that they do is just, oh my gosh, it just... It sparks my passion in a huge way.
How do you not leave Alan and not feel invigorated just to keep going?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when I wanted to make this cocktail, I decided I really wanted to use Water Pocket.
Yes.
I've used it before and I love what it can add. I think it's a lot of the products that they make are just really fun for cocktails. Anybody that's I'm not a bartender. I've never been a bartender.
Mm.
This is just, I'm very amateur, but I'm just, again, passionate.
Passionate.
I go on passion a lot.
Yeah. As you should.
So I just, what I do is I just start playing with it and until it's right. Like, you have to find the balance. And you kind of need something sweet, and you need something, for me, I need something sour, or like, I love citrus juices. So I actually have lemon juice for this. So you could use lime as well.
Yeah. But I think the lemon will go well with the goza.
Yes. The lemon goes well, but I honestly, like, this is sort of, I don't know if I would call it a mule. Like, when I see ginger, I think maybe like a mule or something like that. But basically it's going to be the Temple of the Moon gin, which is made by Water Pocket, and the brand new triple sec. It's called Fruta Triple Sec. And
which I haven't had. Amy, have you had this one? The triple sec?
I've just tried it.
You did try it. Yeah.
I'm so excited to try it.
Yeah, she tasted it. I would probably, yeah, we could taste that too. And then the Forbidden Fruit. And then I always like to use Bitters Lab. Well, not just Bitters Lab, but I love Bitters Lab. I've also played around with beer cocktails and bitters with Andrea from Bitters Lab, and had a lot of fun. That she's actually, really helped me learn how to make cocktails. I brought two. I think either of these would work. I have a hibiscus and yuzu, and then I also have the burnt honey and hops, which is one of the ones I've kind of, it's a go-to that I've used a lot. I think both would work. The one I made last night was with the hibiscus though. And I thought it was quite good. I was just trying to find that right balance.
So. Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel. So I don't know. Do you want me to go into ingredients at all? Simple syrup.
How about
too.
You pour as you go?
Yeah. Well, I might get a little bit distracted here, but the simple syrup is also part of it. Like, you can make different kinds of simple syrup.
Yeah. So this is a homemade one?
Yeah. This is just a honey. I mean, simple syrup's pretty easy for the most part. I have done more intricate. I've done one with like vanilla bean and lavender before. That was really interesting. Like, you can find lots of recipes. This is just a honey, straight up simple syrup. So, and just like regular sugar, you can use that too. And it's just a matter of, it's just something that will easily dissolve into your cocktail.
I'm excited.
I decided to go with the honey because I think it will go nicely with the floral, like the triple sec. I don't know. Do we want to taste it first before I do the cocktail?
Do we have like a tasting?
You might want to, you could rinse out your glass. You have some water?
Do you guys have water? I mean, I can grab some in my bottle. Keep it going.
So this cocktail is going to be, I don't know if you want to post I think I'm actually going to post this on the Red Rock.
I think you should.
Social media, because I've done this before. I've made cocktails for Red Rock with Red Rock beer, and I'll probably put it on the...
So you should.
You watch the Red Rock.
I think Red Rock needs a little more love.
Yeah, it always needs some more love.
Yeah.
Can never get too much love.
No.
I'll post the recipe up. And I'll take it, like, I'll make it again at home, and I'll take a nice picture.
And I'll repost it for you. How's that?
Yeah, you can do that. That'll be cool. If you want to just taste the triple sec.
Absolutely.
It's like, it. You know, triple sec is basically an orange liqueur. It's used a lot in margaritas. So I was actually originally going to try to do a margarita with it, and you know, it's just, I don't like to do anything average, and it was good. I actually also made a mojito with it.
I think a little bit of mint would this be fantastic.
Yeah. Cause they have a cocktail, or they had a liqueur called Minty. This is Water Pocket. And I made with rum and Minty and this Forbidden Fruit. It was really good. It was actually great, but you can't get the minty now. So I didn't want to put anything
make a
out there
you can't make.
That you can't make. So this Fruta Triple Sec from Water Pocket is brand new.
I tell you what.
What do you think?
That's just citrus forward.
Yes.
A lot of citrus.
Orange.
It's not sugary sweet, but it's got a sweetness to it.
It's delicate. It's got some like floral, you know.
Yeah. Damn you, Ellen. Damn you to hell.
Yes. No, it's so good. I really wanted to use it. The name of the gin, the gin's good too. I don't know if you've had their gin.
But, oh yeah.
I actually hadn't tried it. I often buy Beehive gin. I really like the Beehive gin, but I just had, I've heard really good things about the Temple of the Moon gin, and I really wanted to try it. I thought like, this would be so cool to have the Temple of the Moon. And it's actually, they're both really good, but the Temple of the Moon's a little, I want to say, it's just a little more delicate, too, I think. Like, softer is the only way I can really... Like, I don't know if it has...
And that could be a way of the distilling?
He doesn't say everything that's in it. usually gin has juniper, and I don't see that listed. So You can definitely taste the juniper or the sage. I think there's sage in the Beehive gin, which is also really good.
Right.
But this was fun to like use two, you know, a pair of Butter Pocket spirits. So yeah, Temple of the Moon, Fruit of Triple Sec, and then Forbidden Fruit beer, sour ale. So I'm calling it Temple of the Forbidden Fruit of Moon.
How's that?
It's a little too on the nose.
I know exactly what's in it now.
Or you could just call it like Forbidden Fruit of Moon for short. But yeah, so I'm going to do, let's see.
Temple of the Forbidden Fruit of?
Yes.
I love it. Look at that.
So I'm going to do about half an ounce of the simple syrup, which I did honey. You can also use regular simple syrup. Another kind of simple syrup I like too is brown sugar. I love brown sugar. So like sometimes for winter cocktails, I like to use brown sugar. That's kind of fun.
Amy, are you so glad you came today? You just can get spoiled with cocktails and beer.
I drag her to stuff like this all the time. And she's like so happy. She's yeah. I shouldn't put words in your mouth.
Three glasses there? Do we need another one?
I figured, I only brought two because I was trying to keep it simple.
Let me get you another one.
But I can, she can also just drink some of mine too. So we don't, so we don't drink so much.
All right, Amy. You can drink some of mine too.
That was kind of the conclusion
I
came to.
We don't need to interrupt the.
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay, and then I'm going to do lemon. So I'm going to do about the same amount of citrus.
Is this a hand squeezed lemon?
Yes, of course.
That's cool.
It's so easy to do. You may as well. Yeah. I always buy like, I use lots of lemons just in my regular everyday cooking. And I always have like a bag of Costco lemons at
home. You ever had a limoncello?
Yeah. I think I've had.
It's my favorite.
I don't know if I've had like a real one.
I'm a sucker for it.
I think it's kind of sweet. Yeah.
It's like a subtle sweet, like the Fruta. It's like not over the top sweet.
So let's see. Well, we'll do this next. So triple sec. I will do a full ounce of triple sec. Oh my gosh.
That is a full ounce.
Yeah, I've tried to get better at this. Like I said, I'm not a bartender, so I'm trying to get better at this. I don't have the best equipment either. I need to get some nicer bar equipment. But okay, so there's that. And then the gin, I do about an ounce and a half of that.
Beautiful.
So twice as much, not twice as much.
And Amy, you've had this gin, right? Did you try it as well?
I don't think she tried this one. Have you?
Yes, I tried it.
That other night, or?
Yeah.
I don't think I got it out. I think I just opened it.
Maybe you smelt it? You probably get so much stuff thrown your way, girl.
She came over to my house the other night, and I was making her try all this stuff. And so she was trying Amaro's, a lot of water pocket stuff, because I had just come from there.
Oh, yeah. So you were like...
That day or the day before. I think it was that day. I was like so excited. I was like...
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you got to try this. You got to try this.
I did the same thing, because I left with some product, and I saw my wife. I'm like, okay, listen, you have to try this right now. She's like, it's 10 o'clock. No, you have to try this right now. Bless her heart.
I'm going to do some of this hibiscus and yuzu. I'll just do both. I mean, I think the floral in this is nice, so I'm going to go with that.
It'll go well with that gin.
You can also do the burnt honey and hops, which I think would be also really good with this, but just stirring it. Probably if I did this at home again, I would maybe do a shaker and shake it up but I'm just doing it simply. Will you pass the ice?
Absolutely.
It's kind of melted though, huh? Some ice in there.
And you think you are going to post this on your blog and the Red Rock?
I don't know about the blog. I'll probably put it up just on social media.
You should.
So either Crafty Beer, I'll probably put it on Crafty Beer Girls because I haven't posted anything on there for a little while.
Boom. You heard it here.
I finally got a personal Instagram recently because I didn't have one for years and I finally got just a personal Instagram. So I've been kind of posting on that a little bit because I didn't have any content yet.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So here's the beer. So the beer, it's important not to put too much of this in because it's sour and you don't want to overpower these.
Ooh, look at that color. Pretty.
These spirits because the spirits have a lot of flavor. So I just do about 3 ounces. which is about twice as much as the gin.
Yeah, why isn't beer cocktails more of a thing, I feel like?
I don't know.
Around breweries.
I feel like beer is just another possible ingredient. I mean, you use sodas and juices and all kinds of things in cocktails. Beer is another resource.
Yeah. But why aren't we utilizing it like one?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm start asking that question, Jenny. Thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you have to worry about with beer is you got to remember it's got alcohol content too. So your cocktail could get kind of strong kind of quick with using beer. So you have to be careful with that.
Kind of regulated here in Utah a little bit.
All right, so I'm going to pass that to you.
Bless you, my friend.
And I didn't make any garnishes for this.
What would you garnish if you had your way?
You could just do like a lemon wheel or something, or a lemon wedge. I have some dried orange wheels too.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, so that could be fun. I think if I did this at home, maybe when I do it for the post, I'll shake it and then I'll pour it into like a coupe glass and then just top it with the beer from there. And it won't have ice in it.
But, okay.
And, you know, you can also put I think aromatic bitters might be good in this too.
Ooh,
so,
I see you.
You know, you can even just like sprinkle that on top and, I don't know, do like your garnish. There's, I don't know.
Your mind's just going right now. I see it. It's racing.
You can use like just a lemon twist as well. I think that would be good too.
I see you. I like that. I think that with the dried orange. Why not both?
So did this turn out the way I wanted it to? Here, try it, Amy. You can just drink out of mine.
Ooh. Why didn't it come through? Like, why didn't you like this one? I thought this is great.
Oh, I do like it.
Oh, they said you didn't like it. What? It's awesome.
Oh, no. Well, I had a little bit, like when I was trying to figure it out, I was putting a little too much beer and it was kind of overpowering it.
No, because you still get that gin.
Yeah.
I'm still getting the triple sec.
And I didn't know if the triple sec and the gin would play well together, but I think it does.
The lemon was a smart call. I think the lemon juice is really good.
I did it with lime and I thought it was also good. So I think you could do that as well. But
I guess I'm more of a lemon person.
Okay. I'm glad I chose lemon.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too.
I had more lemons too. I had some limes. I didn't have as many.
Bitters,
so.
I'm having a hard time picking out the bitters.
Do you want to taste the bitters?
Absolutely, actually.
So what you do, actually, you don't need your glass.
Ooh, what I need you? I'm giving you my hand.
Why am I shaking?
Choo, choo, choo.
So you just put a little bit on your skin there, and then you just lick it. Because you don't want too much of this. It is bitter.
Amy, if you want to.
If you want to try that.
Oh.
And then we could try this one too.
Interesting. Okay.
Burnt honey hops. You can see the difference. So maybe it would be better with the burnt honey hops. I didn't have the final cocktail. I mean, when you're playing with cocktails, there's only so many you can make in one sitting.
I think that yuzu actually goes really well with the lemon.
Mm-hmm.
The hops would have added a bitterness that may have taken away from the gin.
That's I was a little worried about the bitterness because I noticed
it's good.
Even the beer, it's a sour beer, but it has bitterness too. So I didn't, the yuzu, I'm trying to remember what a yuzu is.
Isn't it a berry or a flower?
I think it's citrus. But this, it also has, like the bitters have more than just what they say. Like there's always other ingredients. If you look at the ingredients,
yuzu is a citrus fruit from East Asia.
Yes. Oh. I knew it was kind of more of a citrusy fruit. And it also has vanilla and honey in this one too. So, and also spices. So yeah, there's a lot of ways
well
you could
done,
do this.
Jenny. I like this beer.
It
cocktail.
Came together. It came together in the end. I was happy with it.
And it's a really cool way because I have a hard time just sitting down and just having spirits or liquor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a beer person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if I can figure out how to have all my friends' products in one glass.
Oh, yeah.
And this is an example of how you can do it.
Well, and it's for social media purposes.
Yeah.
It's a way to like incorporate other people and tag a lot of other people in your post.
I'm a collaboration advocate. Collaboration. So like this is a collaboration in a glass.
Exactly.
And none of them knew that they were collaborating.
No,
but they
it
are
doesn't matter. It's all good. But yeah, I do drink spirits by themselves, especially the Amaros at like sometimes after dinner for digesting.
Yeah.
I love like a nice bourbon or scotch, and I love to drink that stuff neat because I want to taste it. I don't want it to get lost. But yeah, a cocktail can be a really fun thing to drink if you want something more than just a small little sipper that you're sipping on. I don't do shots or.
No, that was my 20s. That was my 20s.
Yeah,
I'm past
those days are done.
Or I guess, Amy, you're 14. So that was your teens.
Oh, gosh.
Don't tell anyone.
But I also think you could start I'm trying to figure out how you can pair a beer mosa, because there's so many flavors. How would you do a pairing with it? I could do a pairing with beer pretty easy. I can do a pairing with spirits, but then a cocktail. I've always found pairing in cocktails
harder, I guess.
More difficult, for sure.
I don't know. Like this, we've got some food to pair with in a little bit here, but I honestly, when I was drinking this, I thought this could also go with some of the stuff, like the cheese, you know, that I brought. I think you'd be surprised. You just kind of have to think about what are the flavors in it and what, pairing's kind of tricky, right? You have to kind of think about the intensity, and you don't want one to overpower the other.
Right, balance.
Yeah, so you're trying to find a balance. You're trying to find things that are about the same intensity. And then, yeah, the flavors. Are the flavors, they're either complementary or contrasting in some way.
So you have an example for us to pair in contrast?
I do. I brought, I brought a specific beer. So this is the other thing I really enjoy doing, is just trying to pair things together. Amy was actually with me when we did, so I have some blog articles about beer and cheese, all kinds of pairings, really. I did a whole one on chocolate and beer. I did a winter and a summer version of cheese, beer and cheese, and I had a cheesemonger from Harmon's help me.
Get out of here.
And we just sat and had a whole spread of different cheeses and different beers, and we had some chocolate too. I think we had the guy from Solstice helped us with that. And so we had Solstice chocolate. I mean, Utah has a lot of really great chocolate makers as
right.
well. So that's the other thing that's great. But just kind of start experimenting.
That's right.
See what goes together.
I was thinking like cider. I think if Scion got a cheesemonger to come in and do a cheese and cider pairing, get out of here.
Cider's great for pairings as well.
Yeah.
Scion does that. They kind of do the charcuterie thing, right? So I love charcuterie.
I want to yell at Scion and be like, hey, guys, let's make cheese here while we drink cider. Sounds fantastic.
Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know what that all involves. I don't know the making cheese
part. I just hear a headache. Elizabeth's like, I can't make that. No.
It's too much.
Too much going on.
Well, there's other people that do that very well. So.
Yeah. Just bring them in. Let's make cheese while enjoying a Scion cider.
Yeah.
So then you brought a beer that's not a cider today, right?
Yes. Let me get that out.
Whom's beer did we bring? I'm curious.
Two Row. I love Two Row.
Shout out Two Row.
Two Row is one of the original breweries that I did an interview with when they very first opened. I was pretty new, very early days with the blog, and they opened. And I went in there and interviewed Brian and was just very taken with everything going on there. And I think Brian's an excellent brewer. I've loved the beers. I've been a big fan. They're also in my neighborhood.
Huge.
I live in Sandy, so I can kind of stop in the
tap room or the
well, they don't have a tap room
room
yet, but they are
yes.
building a tap room in that same neighborhood, 7200 and about, I think, State Street is what I read. So I don't exactly know what the location is. I kind of was like scoping it out, like, hey, I wonder where the Two Row is going to be.
Right.
But they have a bottle shop on like Third West near 7200 South in Midvale. And this that I brought is, so they make a farmhouse beer. I kind of credit Two Row for getting me into that style. I think there was a while where I wasn't really into Belgian much. And it was just like a lot. I don't know. There was something about it that it was like intimidating an acquired taste a little bit with Belgian beers. Maybe it was the yeast or something.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what it was that I was tasting that I didn't love. But now I love Belgian styles and farmhouse. And they have a farmhouse ale there called Danger Row. That's such a beautiful beer.
That barrel aged one.
Fantastic. Well, they have a barrel aged version also, but they just have a straight up. It's actually a 9% beer, which is why it's called Danger Row, because it's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I think it was one of Brian's home brews from before he opened the brewery. But it just has like sweetness and all these other things. It's well balanced. It's really good for pairing. I've had a lot of success with pairing with that particular beer. I know some people will tell you that like saisons and farmhouse beers are a little hard to pair, but I kind of like to pair with those.
Love it.
This one's actually one that they did. It's a barrel version. I assume it's sort of a Danger Row. It says farmhouse ale, so I don't know if it's actually Danger Row, but I sort of assume that. And they put it into Chardonnay barrels, which they've done, like you said, the barrel aged version.
And that's a Chardonnay barrel, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. And then they did this with apricots and Brett, Brettanomyces, which is a wild yeast. And I'm also a fan of Brett. Brett's a good good guy.
Yeah, good I think yeast. It'd be good to pair with different cheeses. I haven't
well,
done
and
a Brett
funky,
and cheese.
The yeah. funk of the Brett. So yeah, I think that's been, it requires a person to be a little adventurous, but you know, there's very mild and mellow cheeses that you can yeah. play with, but I really kind of like, a funky cheese.
As you should.
Yeah. This is so, should I talk? I guess I could talk about what I brought.
Oh yeah, because you have all the smorgasbord over here.
I know. I should probably like move all this cocktail stuff out.
I'll help
here
you. Amy and I will help you while you yeah. talk spiels.
Yeah. So, I got the cheese. I got this is not a local cheese, but it is from Harmon's. Harmon's has a great cheese department. Oh. So if you're ever looking for some good cheese, Harmon's is a great place to go. This is from Jasper Hill Farm. I believe I've had their cheese before, and I think it's Vermont. I should have looked that up. But this is just called Willoughby, and it's a cow's milk washed rind cheese.
Washed rind cheese. Interesting.
Washed rind. So it's got a rind, but you can eat this. You don't have to dispose of this rind. There's some cheeses that you don't want to eat the rind on, but this one is not one of them. Oh. Well, we got to get out the...
Is there a weapon under here?
Open that drawer. Under
oh, this
there.
This is so cool.
This is a cheese board. I brought a cheese board with me that I got for my
thanks,
wedding.
Amy. Oh, my like God.
Years ago. So probably...
This is so cute. There's like hidden knives underneath the cutting board. I can't believe this. I want one of these now.
So I brought... Ta-da. Yes, it's great. It's great to have a little cheese board that's portable that has some hidden different cheese knives just yeah. built in so you can, you know, it's not a very big one, so you can't put too many different cheeses on it, but that's okay.
Still, I love this. This is great for a little picnic right here.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so I thought that the Brett, I suspect it'll be good. What they say, I'll just tell you guys, I haven't tried this yet. A lot of times I'll do it and then I'll
we're shooting from the
talk
hip
about
today.
It. We're totally shooting from the hip. So this is just like, I think this is going to go together. It might not. We might be like, yeah.
If not, we give it to Amy. Amy, you'll have a good time today.
But this is the part of the fun. Yeah. You know, you just kind of, you get some stuff. You try to make an educated guess about what's going to go together. And then you just try it.
Yeah.
And see what works.
Oh, I'm
and
so
sometimes
excited.
It's surprising. So this one says it has aromas of peat, roast beef, onion, milky herbal peach on the palate, succulent buttery and pudding-like. So it's going to be soft. It's going to be spreadable.
Oh, I thought you meant the beer. I'm like, what? That
oh,
sounds
no.
terrible.
The cheese. Sorry.
I'm like, what
the
is Tilo doing?
I've had this beer. This is actually that the second version of this beer. So this beer, all about apricot, to go back to the beer. This is the second time they've made it. And I recently did a cheese pairing with the other one,
yeah.
the former version of it. So I haven't actually tasted this one yet either.
Ooh.
But... if it's anything like the other one, I think it's going to be really good. And I also haven't had this cheese before, but I had another funkier cheese. So I think Brett is going to go well with a funky cheese, probably always.
Yeah.
And the apricot, so this says it's got kind of a peach on the palate. So I think apricot, peach, kind of stone fruit.
Yeah.
So I can see that working. And then these crackers, I love these Raincoast crisps.
That's right.
I've tried to like go away from certain, I've changed my diet a lot. And so I'm really careful about what kinds of crackers I buy. I don't want like vegetable oils and stuff in my crackers. So this is a seed cracker that I found that's like, I think it's really good and really fun for pairings, really fun for charcuterie. They also have this at Harmon's. That's where I got it. And it's like an apricot ginger cracker.
Sold.
So yeah, kind of seems like it would go well. I think also this forbidden fruit, that will also go well with this if you want to try that too. But and then I also got, because on the cheese suggests that this is going to be a cheese that's good with meat. So I did buy some meat. It's where's the meat? Where's the package
the
for
package.
That?
That's a cheese.
Camille. Let's sit down. I probably put it away. Sorry.
It's okay. No harm, no foul.
So this is the Criminelli, and it's a whiskey, uncured Italian salami. So it is made with High West, made with barrel-aged High West whiskey.
Okay, that's really cool.
So I don't know how that's going to go, but I think it's probably going to be fine. I think it's nice to have a little sweetness. I don't know if it's going to have sweetness, but you've got, this is going to be, the beer's going to be a little sour. the apricot, the cracker's going to have a little sweetness with the apricot that's in there. There's definitely going to be some funk, some savory with the cheese, maybe some saltiness, potentially.
Definitely saltiness
with the meat. So you kind of like, you want like the sweet and the salty.
Yeah.
And the sour, you know, some to all tangy. Kind of go together.
Yeah. I say pop this beer.
So, oh yeah, let's do it. Where's the...
I have the bottle opener.
This bottle opener, if I remember right, didn't work really great.
It wasn't wonders last time. Hey.
Got it.
Easy.
It didn't have a cork in it, which is kind of nice, because sometimes these barrel beers have corks that...
Cork and cage.
Cork and cage that take a little more time to open. All right. So I guess...
You gotta swish it there, Amy. You gotta clean that glass, right?
Just put a little water in it. Want some of mine? Yeah, I always like to rinse my glass, and I always drink it because I feel like anytime you're drinking alcohol, it doesn't hurt to have some water. It never hurts to have water.
Preach. Amen.
I'm not really into like getting drunk and having hangovers anymore.
Okay, then my 20s.
Back in the day.
The teens. This is fascinating. It's a nice little golden color. Thank you, my friend.
Yes. I can smell like the sweetness.
Holy
The barrel. You can definitely get the barrel on the nose.
I think this is going to go really well with that cheese.
You think?
I have no idea how this cheese tastes, but
I have no idea I'm either. Pretty... Oh, here's a plate for you.
Oh, thank you.
I brought some plates. So I would just get a cracker. Oh, I have the chocolate too. I forgot about that. I brought chocolate.
You brought everything, Jenny. Holy cow.
I know.
I love
it. This is how I roll.
I'll bring you on every other week.
Yeah, and I'll just feed you and just if you
That's
will
why
never
I bring
starve.
Elizabeth on. Elizabeth feeds me. I love this. Amy, please.
Where is...
Oh. She takes me to concerts at Red Butte, and
this is what she brings. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff I bring to Red Butte.
Oh, that's cool.
So I also have a chocolate called... It's so... Like I said before, there's a lot of local chocolate makers that are great. This one is a mono. It's an Orem. And it's called Macor... Oh, I'm going to say this wrong. It's from the Dominican Republic.
Macoris?
It's got a
Macoris, yeah.
Macoris.
Dominican Republic.
Macoris. And it says, if you look at the tasting notes, that they actually, it's really nice when chocolate makers put tasting notes on their chocolate. It says, flavor is hints of dried apricots and cream. So.
Oh, you are nailing it right now.
Yeah. So I just, I don't know, like, there's a little bit of an apricot theme going on.
We're going fruit forward.
A little bit of fruit, but I think fruit is just a nice, because you're going to have a lot of other things going on, but the fruit's a nice, I don't know, way to tie it together. So I'll get some of that out too. So the thing to do is to just play. Like I do this for my family. We do like a some kind of a Christmas Eve gathering, and I like to do charcuterie for that.
Oh, I love charcuterie.
And I usually way overdo it, but I just have this big old cutting board that I get out and I just put stuff. And I use jams and like different preserves and cheeses
honeys.
And nuts and honeys and mustards and even, hummus. So actually I just got to try the cheese first, right?
I'm a fan of the cheese. It has enough stink on it. Oh, is it? Amy's telling me to put this in my mouth now.
It's so good if you drink
right after. Did you say
right
it doesn't
after?
Have enough stink? Oh, it does. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. I was just saying it's really good if you take a swallow when you're just barely swallowing.
Right. So what you do is you get the cheese and the cracker in your mouth and you kind of start to chew it up and then you get the beer in there with it.
Oh, yeah.
I probably should drink the beer first. I guess I didn't do that.
Try the beer.
It's nice to try things separately too, but. Interesting. This beer isn't as tart as I thought it would be. I think the other one was a little more tart.
Yeah, I definitely like the beer with the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I'm trying to like
How's the cheese with a cracker? That's my question.
I'm trying to do a little bit of meat, a little bit of cheese. That's what's happening here. Jesus.
Interesting. So this cheese actually suggests that you put it with like a rosé or a saison.
A saison.
So that was the other thing. Sometimes I'll look at that. If they have information on the website or the cheesemaker will sometimes suggest pairings for you. You can always look at that. That's helpful. So I'm actually, here, I'm going to try it with the cocktail.
Ooh, good call. I tried it with all four, and I'm impressed.
Okay. Like, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It's that cheese. That cheese really helps bring out that beer. And the savory of the meat kind of helps bring back that tartness.
Okay.
Or in my beer? Opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I haven't had the meat yet. Yeah, that I was kind of curious what you think totally the cheese brings out in the beer. The funkiness or?
I get more apricot, more fruit, more stone fruit. Mm. Way more stone fruit.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there's always, salt is always, I find salty things are great with all kinds, like beer, and I've done whiskey tastings where you have like pretzel, something like as simple as a pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like,
and that salty starch, boom.
Somehow it just, yeah, it just, because salt kind of does bring out other flavors and food and other, and drink, and I think that's one of the reasons why gozas are so good, because they have that little bit of touch of salt that.
I love a good goza.
Yeah. I actually want to try it with this too.
This is fascinating. Amy, what do you think? What's your favorite pairing? All of it?
Yeah, all of it.
Well, I think in the past you were a little less adventurous with the funk, right? Or do you like it?
It's true that I am less adventurous with it, as I wouldn't buy it for myself, but right. I will try it for sure.
Sure. Yeah, you're always game. That's one thing I love about Amy. She's just game for trying anything. Pretty much. Well, I probably shouldn't say anything, but yeah.
Not pretty much anything.
She's pretty up for things. Even if it's not her thing, she'll still try it.
I love it. But this has been really cool and really educational. I think this needs to happen. More beer mimosas need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then more pairings should happen. Mm-hmm. I would love to go to a brewery.
Right.
And showcase your beer with a pairing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool. I respect when I go to a brewery or a distillery and they have what you should or you could pair with their spirit or their product. And that always blows my mind.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I do like, Red Rock does this. I don't, like, Red Rock has a full restaurant and a bunch of food, and they do have suggestions for what to pair it with, and I love that. Whenever I've gone to breweries and seen pairing suggestions, that's helpful, especially if you don't know how to pair.
Even with, like, specials. Here's the special of the day. It goes with this beer or this spirit or this cocktail.
And I love it when they'll use the beer, too, in the cooking. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's a whole other thing. That was another can of worms I thought about opening with this podcast, but I just realized there's only so much you can do in one podcast. But I've also cooked with beer quite a bit, and I find that really fun. Another fun way to, like, incorporate my favorite beverage.
So that I feel like, Jenny, I'm kind of calling you out a little bit. I feel like there's more you can do with the Crafty Beer Girls. I know there's a lot you can. I mean, it's a work in progress. I mean, there's so much going on. There's so much time. There's only so much you can do as a human being. But all these ideas, you can even just do them in your daily life or when you're doing the whole, you know, for your making these charcuterie boards for like at a concert. Mm-hmm. I know you're doing kind of personal, like posting.
Sure.
But you can totally do it on Crafty Beer Girls.
Yeah.
And less blogging and more just pictures.
Yeah.
A little spiel, and that could help still get like that Crafty Beer Girls. Because I feel like, in my opinion, we need more of a female presence when it comes to, I don't need to see your elbows or you in a tank top or, you know, or your feet, or I just don't need to see it. But showcasing the product and what we can do with our products, that's cooler to me. And, you know, I think that needs to be more of a thing.
Well, I totally agree. And that was really a lot that was behind the blog when we first started doing it, was there wasn't female voices out there.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, it's just such a man's industry, or traditionally it has been a man's industry. And, but you know, you go to the Pink Boots meetings and you see all the amazing women that are now brewers and just in the industry. There's so many, and we love beer too.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to hear from another woman about beer and all this stuff. So I agree. I think the female voice is a good thing to have. It's good to have that representation. I would definitely like to do more with it. I think the pandemic was tough, and it definitely took the wind out of my sails, along with Lauren kind of moving on and not having that partner
that
anymore.
Partner.
Like,
it's tough.
You know, it is nice to have that partner that's helping you.
It is.
It's in my mind, is something I could go back to. It may be in a different version somehow.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Different avenues, or maybe different partners. Maybe, you know.
Potentially. I'm definitely open to it.
Or all control, alt, delete, just retire the thing.
Yeah.
It's also like that is an avenue. Not saying
true.
I recommend it. I'm just saying it is an avenue.
Well, I don't actually own that blog. It's Red Rock. Red Rock was the one that sponsored it.
Oh, that's cool.
They set it up. So it's actually on the Red Rock site now.
So then you can like also do just Red Rock
stuff.
So it's
stuff. There.
Two birds, one stone.
Everything that I put out there is out there. And it's there if you ever want to check it out. Go. It's for reference. There's awesome stuff on
there.
There's recipes. Lauren's eggnog recipe, for example, I make that
all the time.
Regularly.
So good.
Amy's a fan.
Amy's dying over here. Yes.
She loves it. Yeah.
Craving it.
In fact, it's probably time to make it because.
Oh, please. Yes.
I think 6 months is a good aging time for that.
Ooh.
So
well, let me
I should
help
probably make
help.
It soon.
Yes. No, yeah. But I think the one thing I love about, because you inspired me, Taste Masters, I don't think would have been as strong if it wasn't for Crafty Beer Girls. So I wanted to say thank you for carving the path. You guys have all did that for me. And to see how I can, be a passionate individual and still have a voice because you were that, you're still that individual. Like I told you the other day, you're well respected in the industry.
Oh, thank
like
you.
Like when people see you, it's like, you're Jenny. Oh my God. Like when I first met you, I just could not hug you. Like, you're Jenny.
You're
oh
so
my fucking,
sweet.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So,
I know.
Love it.
It kind of feel like I got a little disconnected from it. I think the pandemic kind of made me feel disconnected from everyone.
Yeah.
And it's been hard to get back
into
being around people again and getting back into things. And I have been doing a lot of work on myself lately.
Beautiful.
I've gone internal and I've been journaling and
meditating,
I don't know.
Huh?
Yeah. I did a lot of yoga during the pandemic.
Beautiful.
I changed my diet. I did all this stuff to try to be healthier. And I feel like I am. I'm in a much healthier place than I was. When I first started the blog, it was fun, but it was not great in some ways because I put on some weight. My alcohol tolerance got higher.
Yeah.
So it was, I felt like I was drinking too much and I had to kind of pull back a little bit and say, you know what? This is not healthy. So just because you're excited doesn't mean you should drink it all or try it all or
I love it.
Do it all. Like you just have to kind of find that balance in your life. And I think I even did a blog post about that, about how to be healthy.
Awesome. And people need to hear that and see that, right?
Because
we're not invincible.
No. And I think it's easy when you're in the industry to kind of be in that culture and it kind of takes over. And so I think it's also okay to,
it's okay. Give some self-love. Give yourself some grace.
Yes.
Just like, hey, draw yourself a bath. Calm the fuck down. It's okay.
Yeah.
We all have emotions. We all have them.
Right.
Just deal with them. Like process them.
And doing the Red Rock social media that I've been doing has taken a lot of energy. And honestly, like you were talking about, you think every brewer should have like a Tim or, me doing something like that. And I wish I could put more energy into that too, because I there's only so much of that I can do. And I definitely like doing that and the blog was just a lot. And I realized, if I do what I want to do, if I do it justice, all of it, I'm just going to be working all the time.
You're spreading yourself very thin.
Yeah. And maybe if I am ready to give up my massage practice, then I could put more time
goes back
into
to
this,
even like this this whole tasting, it's all about balance
in
life and tasting beers and all that we're doing. I gotta try that.
Did you try the
I haven't
I
yet.
Just tried the chocolate with the beer. I really like
Amy's
what
giving
me
thumbs up. Oh my God, now I have to.
Yeah, this chocolate,
whatever Amy says I'll do. Amy,
you know what's cool about chocolate? You don't have to put any flavor into it. It has flavor. The bean has flavor. It's got that wherever it was. So when you look at these fancy chocolates, they have where they're from. And that's what makes it taste the way it tastes. This is not an apricot infused chocolate. It has apricot
notes to it.
Notes, but it's just natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that so much. It's kind of like hops, right? Hops have natural flavors.
This is what we get
from. My gosh. Okay. I'm getting all excited again.
This, as you should, but that's the thing about you and your Crafty Beer Girls and what you do as Jenny is you have passion. So whatever you do, girl, as long as you lead with passion, you're not going to go wrong.
Right. And this is like, I feel like you plant those seeds. You don't even know where it's going. You might go down a little bit of a rabbit hole. You don't know where it's going. But so many doors can be opened when you follow your passions. And that's maybe, I'm so happy that you're inspired by what I did, because that's kind of how I looked at myself. I was kind of joked that I was like, that Lauren and I were like the sister missionaries of beer.
I love that. Yes, you were.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, she didn't quite identify with that because she's not from the local culture. But yeah, for me, it's like, I get it. Like, I'm a Utah native, born and raised in the prominent religion. And I just think of myself as an evangelist for beer, but not just beer, just following your passions, getting excited about flavors and all the things, like all of your senses, using your senses, because it's not just the flavors, it's the smells. Mm-hmm. It's what it looks like. You can look at the beer.
The processes, the behind the scenes, the front of house, all of it.
Everything. It was so much. I've sat down with a beer and just kind of meditated with it and just poured it and looked at it. It's like, look at the foam, smell it, swirl it.
Yeah, it's a whole process.
Put it in your mouth, swish it around. Like, the whole thing is just, it's like, it's awakening all your senses. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what life's about in a lot of ways. And if I can inspire even one person to just follow some passion and,
boom,
you know.
And that's why I keep doing it, because I look at all you guys, you know, Mikey, Tim, you guys. Yeah. Again, I don't care if there's one person that listens to it, great.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm
same.
I get to have these conversations, have these great, beautiful times. And if someone is touched by it, fuck yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt about it too. Like, I don't know if anybody's reading this. When I first started, I'm like, I don't know, but it's fun. I'm learning something new and
passion.
It's cool. And
don't stop
you
the
know,
passion.
And then I was honestly surprised. It's surprising how it was received.
Yeah.
And it was a little weird, I won't lie, being it, you know, recognized and
yeah.
Having people be like
so
fans.
When I tried to get you to go on for the first time, you're like, I have nothing interesting to say. I'm like, you don't want to talk to me. Yes, I do. And this is because a little imposter syndrome, maybe.
Yeah.
But you are that. To me, like, I geeked out when I met you.
That's
so
it's,
having you finally here,
it's
Jenny,
so cool
is
to hear that.
Awesome. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks for dragging Amy along. Amy, I'm so glad you were here.
Yes, aww, I'm glad she
you.
Came too.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to have your spirit and energy here.
Aww,
you
thanks.
Are lovely. Yeah. But Jenny, if there's anything I can do to help you in the future when it comes to your life, to Crafty Beer Girls or anything in general, please let me know.
I appreciate that.
And
I
Amy,
really do.
Same offer to you, girl. Whatever you need. Yeah,
thank
but
you.
Jenny, Amy, thank you so much for being here today at Scion and sharing this awesome, feeling your passion just gets me inspired again. And that's why I keep doing
awesome,
this.
Awesome, David. Thanks so much for having me. And thanks for, you know, pushing me a little bit to come on.
You're welcome.
And yeah, I think I actually believe you when you say, like, I had something to say, because I know that I do, but I think that you caught me at a time I was a little bit insecure at that moment.
Yeah.
And I didn't know where it was going. The blog was really in flux. I didn't know what was happening with it.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I felt like I needed to have something that I was working on, and I wasn't.
The blog is cool.
But it doesn't matter.
But I don't hear you, Jenny.
Yeah.
Who's Jenny?
I still have passion. It's still there.
I know.
You know.
And I'll be patient. I have a lot of people like, for example, I'll call Turo out. I've been trying to get Brian on for about 2 years. And
Brian, come on.
And I want to hear his story. I know once
Brian's
he
great.
Sits down. Oh yeah, I've met him multiple times. He's a great guy. But
he's awesome. He's fun to talk to. He's got a lot. He's a nerd too. He's got a lot of information. I love finding out all the stuff he knows about water and just so many things.
He kind of reminds me of Alan a little bit. Just kind of nerdy. Like, okay,
super
I love
nerdy.
This.
I love nerds.
Right. Me too. But my friends, we're going to end it today. And again, love you guys so much. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day and let's see where this goes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's enjoy some charcuterie with Scion team. They're waiting. They're chomping at the bit.
I know.
On that note, my friends.
Cheers.
Until the next beverage.
Cheers.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
And thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you. This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, Twitter at @TheTastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.